National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Bernice Herzog. My respondent's name is Donald Moritz. This is Thursday, October 24th.
This is
Mr. Moritz, would you tell us your birth date, please?
My birth date is October the 23rd, 1927, so I had a birthday yesterday.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Let's go back and talk about your forebears. Do you remember your grandparents?
I remember my grandparents on my father's side.
Okay. What was your grandfather's name?
His name was Max Moritz.
Max Moritz. And your grandmother's?
Her name was Pearl.
Do you remember her also?
Oh, surely. I remember her.
And
she outlived him by a considerable number of years, but I remember both of them.
And what country were they from?
They were originally from the Ukraine, outside of Kiev.
Both of them?
They were both of them. They were first cousins, as I remember.
Well, that happened most often then. Do you remember your maternal grandparents?
No, I don't. I was quite young when the survivor died, so I don't really remember.
Do you remember stories about them? First, if you know their first names or their mother's last name.
Well, my grandmother, my mother's name was Anna, I believe. Anna, and her husband's name was Nathan.
And where did they come from?
They came from in and around Budapest.
Both?
Both, as far as I know, yes.
How many children did your maternal grandparents have?
Oh, there were about seven or eight, I guess. And strangely enough, the last surviving one died yesterday.
Oh, my.
She was in her mid-90s.
And her name?
Her name was Jean Schutte. It was Jean Klein, was the maiden name.
That was your mother's maiden name?
My mother's maiden name. My mother's name was Rose, and it was Rose Klein.
Right. Yes. And when do you remember that they came to this country?
I've been told that the thing that was kind of interesting in our family was that my grandmother and grandfather were married here, which is, there are not a lot of them, so
no.
it would have been somewhere in the 1880s, 1890s at the latest. My mother was born in 1904, and she was the youngest in the family, so it would have been somewhere in around that time.
How many children did your parents have? That is, how many siblings do you have?
I have one brother, one sister.
And their names?
Shirley is my sister. She lives in Florida.
Her married name?
Goldstone. And my brother is Norman. And he lives in Pittsburgh.
Good. So you have somebody.
Oh, yes.
Somebody here. What occupation does your brother pursue?
My brother's a pharmacist.
Located in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
What area? Squirrel Hill.
Well, he works in Squirrel Hill in one of the... He had his own store until about a year ago, and then he sold it out to Revco, and he works at Revco. He lives on Fifth Avenue.
That's good. What kind of Jewish education did your family give to you, to your aunts and uncles?
I'm not too familiar with what my aunts and uncles might have been. A couple of generations ago, I'm sure that everybody was, on my mother's side, was quite Orthodox. I was given a Orthodox upbringing, and I didn't go to yeshiva. I went to lived in McKeesport, so I went to the Hebrew Institute, which was after school kind of thing. I was bar mitzvahed through the then the Gemilas Chesed congregation, and
your family lived in your early life in McKeesport?
I was born in McKeesport, and I lived in McKeesport my entire life until about 2 years ago when I moved to Pittsburgh.
Where you went to school there in McKeesport, the name of the school?
It was the McKeesport Public School System that I went through.
And then your college?
I went to the University of Pittsburgh, took a business administration undergraduate course, and then I went to the University of Pittsburgh School of Law, and I graduated from the School of Law.
What year?
1951.
Quite some time ago.
Yes.
When you first started working in 1951 or two, where were you employed?
I was, my very first position was with Equitable Gas Company. It was in 1952 when I was engaged as an attorney in the law department.
And when did you marry?
I married in 1952.
And your wife's maiden name?
Her name was Janet Papernick.
P-A?
Papernick, P-A-P-E-R-N-I-C-K. She was from Glassport.
And how many children do you have?
I have three.
And their names?
Well, my oldest daughter is Paula.
She married?
She's married. Her name is Paula Spock. She has one child. Her name is Elizabeth. And another child who will be here within the next 2 weeks. My next is a daughter who is not married. Her name is Laurie. And my son, his name Kenneth, J. Period Kenneth. He's married to Natalie Chapman, and they just had a baby about a month ago.
That's good. Now, Mr. Moritz, what is the occupation of your single daughter?
She's a CPA with Mellon Bank in their institutional trust department. My other daughter also works, and she works at PNC Bank, and she's in their training area. My son practiced law for about 5 years, and has recently bought a hat manufacturing business in Creighton, Pennsylvania.
Where did your children go to school?
A variety of places. My oldest daughter went to Franklin and Marshall in Lancaster, and then she came back to the University of Pittsburgh and received two graduate degrees at the University of Pittsburgh. My middle daughter went to Connecticut College, transferred to the University of Pittsburgh, and too has a graduate degree from the university as well. My son went to the University of Pennsylvania. He then came to the University of Pittsburgh Law School and took a joint program in the law school together with Carnegie Mellon University Business School. So the effect of that would be that he has two graduate degrees as well. So we got a lot of degrees in the family.
A lot of education.
Yeah,
of education.
It's important.
Good. Before 1952, of course, were you in the service at any time?
During World War I, I happened to just sort of be on the fringe when they raised the time in which you would be subject to the draft. But I did take an examination, and I was classified 4F because of a hip condition and a weight condition. At that time, I weighed 210 pounds. Now I weigh about 155.
Wow, that's quite a difference.
Well, you didn't mean World War I.
Yeah, I meant World War II. Did I say World War I? Change that to World War II.
I thought you didn't.
It was my World War I, put it that way.
Yes, very definitely. And your children grew up in McKeesport?
Yes, okay. Right.
And when did you decide that law was going to be your chosen field rather than what you started out with?
Oh,
it was always in
your
mind?
Oh, sure. I started out with the idea that I'd be going to law school, but I did not take a pre-law course. I took a business course, which
that's,
I think is the appropriate course to take if you're going to law school. But there wasn't any change of plans or circumstances. I had that in mind from way back when.
And you live in Pittsburgh now?
I moved to Pittsburgh 2 years ago, yes.
And what section of Pittsburgh, may
we
I
live on Woodland Road near Chatham College.
When you were going to school, either elementary school, that section, or in college, did you have any close friend or friend, not necessarily close, that gave you ideas that helped you make up your mind of what you were going to do with your life, or somebody that you just looked up to for what they had accomplished?
No, I don't think so. I think I was probably pretty strong-willed of my own as to what I intended to do, and I didn't particularly vacillate based upon what somebody else may have accomplished.
Well, not necessarily.
Or not
that.
Accomplished, but I can't say that.
Somebody that you looked up to?
Well, there were a number of people that I had particular interest in, and
can you tell me who and why?
Well, there were was one particular professor in high school. I just thought he had a certain perspective on life that I found to be not necessarily something I would embrace, but the idea that he had it, which was different from most, and I spoke to him freely. He wouldn't even know that he influenced me in any way, if there was an influence. But I'd always been fairly successful in my academic career, quite successful. And so there wasn't anything that needed prodding on my part.
Oh, that's very interesting. What type of Jewish household do you have? And what Sunday school or religious education did you have your children take?
I was a member and have still a member and have of the Tree of Life congregation in McKeesport, which ran a very extensive Hebrew school and Sunday school. And my children, each of them went there. They were the women, my daughters were confirmed through that system. And my son, of course, was bar mitzvah and confirmed through the system. Tree of Life is a sort of a conservative congregation, and still is. So they had a conservative upbringing.
And did either of your two children, the married ones, marry within the faith or out?
My son did. My daughter married a young man who converted to Judaism.
And how do they practice their religion?
My son is more observant in his house, I would think, than my daughter would be.
And what Jewish organizations have you been associated with? One that you particularly work with?
Well, I've been a member of B'nai B'rith for, I guess it's pushing 50 years now. I never took any officerships in that particular organization. I've done a lot of federation work when I lived in McKeesport with the Pittsburgh Federation.
Old office in any time?
Yeah, well, I was on the board. Not any particular officers. I did some particular committee work with them. I was asked by them and took on the position of being head of the Riverview Home for the Aged which has another title to it. But I did that for 2 years or so while the community was working out its problems with that. I did some work when their finance committee chaired it for a year or two. I'm still a member of the committee because I was a chairman, but I'm trying to think what other organizations I was. I did a lot of synagogue work. I mean, I was president of the synagogue and on the board for a long period of time.
That's a
tough
job.
Chairman of the AJC here in Pittsburgh. That's other than the president. There's a president and a chairman, and I was a president for, I think, a year.
You're talking about the American Jewish Committee.
American Jewish Committee. I'm a life member of the American Jewish Committee. Early on, as I mentioned, when I was a teenager, there was a very active Young Judea chapter in McKeesport. I think I was president of that for about 6 years in a row. But
you were young for a long time.
Yeah, I guess so. That was my first exposure to Zionism, I guess, in a very institutionalized surrounding. Although, for the young people, I don't know that Zionism was really what was the motivation for many people
that,
to be part of it.
At that time, yes.
I was on the Jewish Healthcare Board. I was on the Montefiore Board for a number of years. I was on the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center Board, Presbyterian Hospital Board, as a representative of the Jewish Healthcare Foundation. And that was up until about 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago.
About the time that the hospital, Montefiore.
No, this was afterwards. I was on the Montefiore as it was independent. I was there when it was sold, and then after it was sold to the university, there were certain seats on the Presbyterian University board, and I filled one of those seats for a period of time. There might have been others, but nothing comes to mind at the moment.
You've had a lot of Jewish associations. As you were growing up in McKeesport, going to the elementary system, through the elementary system, did you notice any anti-Semitism?
Oh, surely. Oh, yes, that was there.
Greatly or subtle?
Well, some of it was very overt.
Can you recall any incident?
Oh.
Tell us.
We would be at the Hebrew Institute, and they had a gymnasium floor there, and people from the neighborhood would form a team and come in and participate. And if they didn't like the way things were going, it was very clear that they didn't like Jews in the process. And a few fights broke out and that kind of thing. Some people in my classes would indicate that every store on McKeesport was owned by a Jew. I would have some intellectual discussions, but they were useless because I wasn't talking to an intellect. And anyhow, there was a sufficient amount of that, including some teachers in the high school system that
let it be known?
Well.
Or subtly?
It was kind of subtle, but.
You knew it.
No question about it. So it wasn't that subtle that it went over my head.
At the university, of course, there were many more Jews in attendance than there were in the elementary schools in McKeesport. Did you notice anything?
No, I was unaware of. It just never seemed to be an incident that required any attention.
Since you hold a very prestigious position in this organization, which I'm sure could be the envy of many people. But however, considering the magnitude of this organization, how did you feel when you first came to work here?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's also an interesting story, in my opinion. I was just graduating law school. I had stayed on at the request of one of the professors to participate in a research program that he was involved with. That was coming to an end. just by happenstance, I double dated with a friend of mine from McKeesport who was in medical school, who happened to be dating the secretary to the general counsel at Equitable Gas Company. She informed me that they were looking for somebody, and with her assistance in making the appointment, I came down and applied for the position. The man that was in that position was John Brown, who was the general counsel. I got the position. There was consternation in certain people's minds asking how you could possibly go to work for a public utility. It's always known, so they said, that they are just anti-Semitic and you're digging yourself a hole that you'll never get out of. I will say John Brown did not have a discriminatory bone in his body. He was a great person to be in that position, and I owe much of my good fortune to the fact that he was the one that was there. Now, when you looked around Equitable Gas Company at the time, there may have been a couple of other Jewish employees. There certainly was at least one Jewish person on the board of directors. That wasn't so strange because there were Jews on lots of corporations at that time who nevertheless the corporations practice discriminatory aspects. But in my position as attorney here with the company, there were occasionally people who I could sense. Nobody ever came out and made any comments, but I could sense, didn't like the idea of my own religious persuasion as it related to the work that was being done. But I assure you, they very soon got straightened out. And when that happened, there was a change of attitude. I'm not suggesting that somehow I changed the whole atmosphere here. But it did, it was a very interesting several years because, quite frankly, I was promoted very quickly to other positions, and then those people who had those same attitudes were not in a position to express them and either kept them to themselves or went in another direction.
You went up the ladder quickly. Did the attitude change quickly, or was it a little slower?
When I'm talking about attitude, I'm talking about a handful of people. I have to give this company a lot of praise, particularly John Brown. By the way, John Brown went from general counsel to executive vice president to president. He was my predecessor.
Oh.
And when he moved to executive vice president, I was sort of his assistant. John was an intellect. And John and I would have many long discussions at certain levels. I don't know that he had too many people around here that he could talk to in the same way. I'm not trying to inflate my own position, but
no,
we just had a lot of interesting discussions. It had nothing to do with the gas company necessarily. We go to lunch together frequently. We socialized. Then John became president, and I became the executive vice president. And then from there, I became the president and CEO after John Brown himself retired.
When was that?
1978. I became the president, I became the CEO in 1978. I held a title of president before that, but it was president and COO. I was the CEO of this company until January 1st, 1995, when I retired. In that capacity, currently I'm still on the board of directors, of course. And I'm still chairman of the executive committee here at the company. I was asked about 7 or 8 years ago to, maybe it wasn't that long, maybe it was 5 years ago, but certainly in the past, to sit on a panel by the American Jewish Committee, talking about Jews in the corporate world. And I shared that panel with two other people. I wanted to get prepared for that discussion, and I asked our personnel department. I said, I lost track. How many people here do we have working for us that are Jewish? I knew of a handful of people, and one reason there may not be too many is that nobody applied for positions, perhaps because of the old attitude. In about a week, he came back and said, we have about 60 Jewish people working for us. And I said, 60? I said, I've lost track of a lot of people if we have 60. Of course, we have people working in all over the United States, and I wouldn't necessarily know them, or even out digging ditches in the street, I wouldn't necessarily know them. And I said, well, even though we weren't permitted necessarily to have religion on application, I want to know who he was talking about. So the first person he came up with was a fellow named, I forget his last name for the moment, but his important part was his first name. His name was Sam Perry. He says, Sam Perry. I said, Sam Perry, his father just died, and I see that they said a Catholic mass for him. Sam Perry's not Jewish. He says, oh, and he crossed that off the list. And then he says, Jacob Stern. I said, Jacob Stern's not Jewish. And it soon came to light that the way he figured it out was by first names. And I said to myself, that is extremely interesting, because our personnel department doesn't know. I said, that's wonderful. They don't know, they don't care. And so it isn't a question that I know all the Catholics around here, or I know all the Jews around here, and so forth. He didn't know at all, which I think is great that he didn't know.
Very interesting, very interesting. Have you ever been to Israel?
I've been to Israel twice.
Okay, would you tell us your impressions, not necessarily from the gas business?
No, there wasn't a gas business that mattered. But the first trip was in 1976. My wife and I just went on a mission, and we were there for some period of time. I forget the specifics.
What was your first immediate?
It was a very interesting, you know, just to think that this is a country where I'm not in the, as I get off the plane, I'm not in the minority. The minority is over there, you know, doing something else, that was an interesting concept. But, of course, I kept it so busy, really didn't have too much time to think about much of anything. The second trip was last year. And that was a trip with, I'm president of the Pittsburgh Symphony. And the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra went to Israel. And we conducted, about 40 of us, and when I say us, I mean people from the symphony. There may have been a third of them were Jewish, maybe few more, and we went to hear the Pittsburgh Symphony and also to visit Israel at the same time. That was a very interesting meeting, to hear that great orchestra play in Israel, and played in Tel Aviv, and it played in Jerusalem.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did your children ever express a desire to go, or have they been?
My daughter's been. My middle daughter's been, the unmarried one. My other daughter and my son, they're not too keen on flying for some reason, so they don't really they don't really bring it to their attention.
They're joined by many. You mentioned being president of the Pittsburgh Symphony, which is certainly a prestigious symphony. You must be also a president or officers of other non-Jewish organizations.
Well, I was the first Jewish member of the board of directors of the Duquesne Club.
I was going to ask about that.
I was the first, and I, in that capacity, I was chairman of the membership committee. And I always thought that was an interesting bit of circumstances. The term on the board was 3 years, so my term is over. So I'm on the board of Seton Hill, which is a Catholic college up in Greensburg, a very fine organization. I don't know if you're familiar with their Holocaust Center that they run, but they do a tremendous job. It's not a bricks and mortar center. What they do is they teach Catholic instructors how to teach the Holocaust. And in the process, each year send, and by the, they have participants from all over the country that come here, and then they have a session in Israel too, in which they then see Yad Vashem and so forth. And they operate on a shoestring and a half. And I do my best to try and get people. And as soon as this tapes off, we're going to have a little conversation.